birthday, my family took me, parts of my family, took me on a hike. We actually went to Harper's Ferry, and which I love that it's so close. I've been going to Harper's Ferry for years, and I was anticipating, getting a hike in, and I was excited about it, and I got my gear ready on Friday night, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then the weather said, no, not really, buddy. And so, we still went to Harper's Ferry. I'm still, hoping against hope that there will be a break. And it just got colder and wetter as the time went on. And we had lunch there, had a nice lunch, and then we just decided, well, let's just see what happens. And so we go across the bridge. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Go across the bridge to where it connects to the Appalachian Trail. And so I got on that trail, and it's paved in that part, or some crush and run there, and it's really, really nice and wide open. And I looked at that and I thought, oh, I can make it. I can do this. And I wanted to walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. Danielle was with me at the time. And so Danielle and her mother had another conversation, however. We got to turn him around. And they did. And I wasn't happy, but they did. Over these last few weeks, we have been talking about this business of being on the walk, walking the walk, and how we are invited to certain practices as we do this business of being a follower and a friend of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus. We talked about how important it was to be part of worship, like you are today, being gathered together for worship, and how important it is to be in prayer, that public worship, that corporate gathered together worship, and private prayer, individual prayer, is hugely important. And then we talked about the importance of service, right? How valuable it is to kind of look after and care for the people around you. We talked about growing, how important it is for us just not to kind of like be stagnant and say, oh, I got all that. Oh, they talk about that all the time. I'm good. But to actually work to help your mind and your heart and your spirit kind of expand, mature, as you study the Word, as you study with people, as you grow in your own ways. And so today, another part of that, another practice that we are dealing with, is that of giving, of sharing what we have with God and others, kind of like service, too. Now, back in the fall, we had a really good conversation. If you remember November, do y'all remember November? Someone said barely, and I'm with you. But back in November, we had some conversations and reflections on what our story was with money, and actually, an invitation to kind of like go a little bit deeper with that. I mean, we can say, oh, yeah, I do this, I do that, I have this, I want that, I need this, I'm worried about that. But also to take that story and to kind of like start working with it from the perspective of God's money story. I hope you found that conversation to be helpful. I certainly did. And we had different versions of conversation all around this place about that. In Hamilton's book, now we are using material that have been developed for use originally at the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection, in large part with Adam Hamilton, serving as the pastor there, but also kind of helping his people sort of think through things. And so this material has used that this series has used that kind of as a seed, but we've kind of like come up with some of our own stuff in the midst of all that too. But when Adam reflects on this particular issue, if you read the book or if you look at the material that we've made available for you through Amplify Media, there's video teaching for that. I commend that to you. It's really good. One of the things he talks about is the need for us to kind of remember our story. He says that, when he goes to see his accountant, you know, and to do the taxes for the year, that those taxes tell a story. I've heard it for years that our checkbook, do you remember checkbooks? Do y'all still have checkbooks? Yeah, some of you really, oh, that's the way I do it. But there are a number of people, some of them in this room, that haven't written the check or have to go to, get a money order to take care of those kinds of things, right? So the whole landscape is changing. But if we looked at our statement, we would see kind of, you know, where those things are important, or where those things are drawing us, or where we are called. Jesus says, where your treasure is, what we're treasuring, what we're putting in the center, maybe even those things that we might be caught worshiping. Oh, I'm a fan of this. I love to do that. This is the thing that really kind of gives me energy. This is the thing that I love to do. Nothing wrong with those things until they become the center of our being. So Hamilton invites us to kind of like think about what it is that is driving us. There are things that we focus in about ourselves, but there are other things that can drive us and drive our money behavior, our money story as well. One of them being gratitude. The idea that we have been given something, that there are needs and issues for sure that surround that. But also, the very fact you and I are gifted people, that as hard as things can be sometimes, we have enormous gifts in front of us. And that gratitude, which is what we are really created to live in, a gratitude, a relation, you know, a thankful relationship with God. It's fundamental to how we are to be. Gratitude's huge. And it has lots of complexity. So if you're comfortable with this, I would like to go on for the next hour and a half. You're laughing, okay, so maybe you're not. Well then, let me maybe then offer this short film to reflect on that.
This year for Christmas, what are you hoping to get?
A computer. Big, giant Barbie house.
A trophy case.
Xbox 360.
Minecraft Legos.
What do you think your mom or dad want for Christmas?
My mom would probably want a ring. She's never really had a ring.
Jewelry. She loves jewelry.
A new TV.
Like watches.
So, we actually did buy an Xbox 360.
What in the world? I wanted this!
Okay, you really got this for me?
A new laptop.
Wow! And it's a necklace!
So we also bought a necklace because you said you also wanted to get a necklace for your mom or your auntie. The catch is that you can either get a gift for yourself,
huh?
Or you can pick a gift for your mom and dad. I need you to pick one. Now before you answer, Oh, I bet that's hard. Is that a really hard question?
Mm-hmm.
What gift do you pick?
I choose this.
I gotta go with the ring.
What gift do you pick?
That one. That one. The dress.
I'll choose this for my mom.
I'll choose this one.
It's a really tough question.
I'll give him this.
You already know? Tell me why.
Because Legos don't matter. Lego, your family matters. Not Legos, not toys, your family. So it's either family or Legos, and I choose family.
I get gifts every year from my family, and my mom don't get anything.
If I get a laptop, my mom will get something. She helps me when I'm sick. She helps me with my homework.
She gave me a house to live in.
They look out for me and do stuff for me, so I need to give back to them.
Now I have the opportunity to give them something.
Because you actually picked the gift for your family, you're actually gonna go home with both. Tell me how you're feeling.
I'm feeling really happy and
why?
Thankful.
Just happy. Thankful.
For your family? For what?
My family, everything.
He did make his decision, actually. And
oh
he
goodness.
Picked the Pandora charms.
Oh, that is sweet. That made me cry. So what are you going to do for me?
And for me.
Oh, it's for me? Oh, it's for you.
Thanks, guys.
I was crying too.
Now, that film was made really as an experiment, and it's hard to see kids have to face that choice. And as you saw, they gave them the presents anyway. Isn't that good? I was pulling for those kids. I'm like, come on, guys, you can do this. But what you saw was the genuine response of gratitude for and the connection with the parents. She does this for May. She looks after May. They take care of May. That kind of connection with people, that kind of connection that is intimate within family, is the same kind of thing that is more broadly drawn in her relationship with God, who calls us family, who calls us sons and daughters of the Most High. And that is not a way to try to push you or manipulate you, but I want you to know that there is a reality of deep, parental, loving relationship that is fundamental to our connection with God. Now, sometimes those connections are hard, right? Sometimes family relationships are not easy. I heard some snickering in the midst of all that. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Right, because it's right. Right. Nevertheless, in its truest form, family shows up for each other. And those people who are our neighbors, those people who might find themselves in need, are in that same circle. That we can't cut someone out. We can't cut a group of people out. And we have to respond with the very truth that is from, you know, last week I read from James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Remember that? That started getting quoted around a little bit. Here's another part of that. My brothers and sisters, what good is it if people say they have faith but do nothing to show it? Claiming to have faith can't save anyone, can it? Imagine a brother or sister who is naked and never has enough food to eat. What if one of you said, go in peace, stay warm, have a nice meal? What good is it if you don't actually give them what their body needs? In the same way, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. That's the same book that reminds us of this. Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing. It's kind of like, you know, that bag of chips that has all the air in it. Right. It's not an air-filled bag that you get back. That a good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. So today, I just want to offer these words as homework. These are, the founder of our United Methodist movement, of our Methodist movement in the world, was a man by the name of John Wesley. Wesley was all in, kind of crazy that way, but he was all in, and part of his ministry was to help people to come into this life of loving Jesus, of knowing the love of God, and helping other people around him. Very passionate about mission work. Spent years working for the good of prisoners. Opposed slavery. Worked really hard to help people who were in you know, difficult economic needs. You know, put together medical clinics, hospitals. Wesley, reflecting on this whole business of money in our life as followers of Jesus, gave us these words, this advice. Gain all that you can. And earn as much as you can. I don't think that's just singular ambition, but that's part of this, that it's okay to work hard and to earn those things. And as you do it, then save all that you can. Set aside those things that you know you might need at some point. It's okay to consider your retirement. It's okay to consider those things that you're going to functionally need in this life. Yet, the third part of it is this. Give all that you can. Earn all that you can. Save all you can. Give all you can. That's a complex calculation. There's an algorithm there. But it's also all you can. That's your homework for this week. Maybe that's your homework for the rest of your life. Earn, save. And give. I invite you to this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.